Are you content? Are you happy with your life? Let's take lockdown out of the equation. I know none of us are quite content until we are free. But imagine life before lockdown. Remember that? Were you content? Do you believe you'll be content after lockdown? Or are you hoping for something to be added to your life that will make you content? I come from a family of advertisers, and I've learned a lot about the advertising industry growing up. And one thing that the advertising industry sort of preys on is that it knows that most people are not content with their lives. And so what they do is try to convince you that the product, whatever it is that they're trying to sell, is going to make you content. If you just drive this car, or you wear these shoes, or you eat that burger, you will be happy, and your life will be complete and fulfilled. Now we know, don't we, that that's not the truth, but we get sucked into the illusion and hopes that maybe that will be what makes us content. But we know that as soon as we've taken a bite of that burger, driven that car for a couple of months, that same old feeling of discontent returns. And we continue our search for content, for contentment in life. As we wrap up our series in Philippians, Paul is going to unveil what is, I guess, the ultimate lesson learned in lockdown, which he calls the secret of contentment. And we'll get to that in a moment, but just a little bit of a context, the ground that we've covered so far. The letter to the Philippians was written by Paul as a thank you for a gift that was sent to him through a messenger by the name of Epaphroditus, a great generosity shown from this church in Philippi to Paul, who was in chains for the gospel. And so he writes this letter as a thank you to them, full of encouragement, full of joy, full of good reports about how the gospel is going out and impacting many lives. And right towards the end, we find this, his secret to contentment. So from verse 10 of chapter 4, we read this. He says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And are you ready for this? Here it is, the secret to contentment. Maybe you want to do a little drum roll on your table or wherever you are. Here it is, the secret, the big reveal, the lesson of lockdown. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We love this verse, don't we? I remember as a young Christian, I had just come to know the Lord, and I was just getting into the scriptures, 14 years old, but the other great love in my life was rugby. And so I loved watching the Fijian Sevens team play, led by their enigmatic captain, Wasali Serevi. He was the greatest ever, in my opinion. And I loved how they played the game. It was always awesome to watch. But also, I loved the way that he, as a captain, after the match, would always acknowledge his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even at one stage, the Fijian team were playing with Philippians 4, verse 13, emblazoned across their jerseys. And so I decided as a young Christian to adopt this as my own theme verse in life, and I would recite it whenever I faced any kind of a challenge. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, you know, before writing a maths exam, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I would recite this mantra again and again and again to kind of fill up myself with confidence. Cleaning up my bedroom, which as a teenager was a tough thing to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And I mean, one of the hardest things you had to do as a teenager back in the day, some of you are too young, you don't even know about this. When you met a girl that you liked, you couldn't just text her and have this sort of a conversation. You actually had to pick up a phone and phone her. It was terrifying because you knew it was probably going to be her dad who answered the phone, remember? And so you have to get yourself psyched up and dial the number, and then I would dial it and put it down a couple of times and then recite my mantra, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and make that phone call. And you might look at that and say, well, what's wrong with that? That's simple faith. Anything wrong? Well, the problem is that this is not actually what this verse is all about, as these pictures illustrate. You see, this is one of those verses that have been twisted and manipulated by selfish and immature believers like myself to make it all about God helping me to achieve what I want. I had put myself in the center of it, and this suited my needs perfectly. Christ will strengthen me to get the things done that I want. But let me illustrate what the problem is. So let's play a little game here called Match the Lyrics. I'm going to read out a couple of song lyrics, and at home, if you can name the song and maybe the singer as I recite these lyrics. Okay, you ready? Number one. If I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. You got that one? Next one. There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe somehow you will. Remember that one? Something a little bit more recent. You could be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on his chest. You could beat the world. You could beat the war. You could talk to God by banging on his door. This one, for our rap fans, you can do anything you set your mind to, man. Who said that? And last one, you got to have faith. Did you get a couple of those? There's dozens more. There's dozens more of these songs. And again, you might be asking, what's the problem? Those songs are inspiring, man. They make us totally believe in ourselves. And that's the problem. I realized this issue once when a young girl in our youth group was sharing a testimony on a Friday evening. And she was trying to sort of thank me, but she said, you know, Duncan always teaches us to believe in ourselves. And I wanted to crawl under the table, and another part of me wanted to jump up and say, I protest. I've never, ever taught you to believe in yourself. I've taught you to believe in Jesus. It's not the same thing. But I realized to a young believer, to maybe someone who's unclear about their faith, there is confusion about these messages because they sound similar. To a new believer, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I can do whatever I put my mind to, sound like very, very similar messages, and they're completely the opposite. And the emphasis is all about an individual who possesses this amazing power called faith, which enables them to do anything they put their mind to if they just believe hard enough. Slight difference, I believe in myself or I believe in Jesus, whatever. The credit is given to this magical power called belief or faith. C.S. Lewis once put it this way, you can believe with all of your heart that you are a banana, it will make no difference, you are not that. It is not faith or belief itself that gives the power, but the object of that faith. Who do you believe in? If you believe in Christ, there is merit. But if you believe in yourself, you're missing the point completely. Jesus put it this way, and I think we need to understand and get the emphasis right. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, he it is that bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Self-belief and faith in Christ are not the same thing. They are polar opposites. You see, when it comes to Philippians 4, verse 13, the secret to contentment is actually about the second part of the verse, not the first part. We love to focus on the first part. I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things. Because it appeals to our selfish desire to be powerful and influential and successful and all of these things. And so we want Jesus to come in and fulfill these self-centered desires, give us our fleshly desires. But it's the second part of this verse that is the key. Through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens me. And the word used there for through is actually kind of quite a broad word. It's a robust word in the Greek language. It's also used when Paul describes being in Christ, being empowered by Christ, with Christ, through Christ, abiding in Christ. Being in Christ is what it is all about. It's a theme that's been unpacked through the whole letter of to the Philippians, that life and joy and peace and now contentment are found by this one thing, being in Christ. What does it mean then to be in Christ? It means to have surrendered all of my selfish desires, to have given Jesus lordship over my life. I live for Him now. I don't try and squeeze Him into my life. I live for His glory. I live for His pleasure. I do what He wants. I don't try and get Him to do what I want. And Paul was also in Christ. He found himself in chains because of his faith in Christ, because of his obedience to Christ. And so he can say legitimately, I can do all things in Christ because I'm living according to His will. He found himself in a season of hardship, but still doing what Jesus called him to do. So his secret, this big reveal of his, this great lesson in lockdown that he learns, needs to be understood in this context. And perhaps it'll help us if we unpack that verse kind of in order of importance. Maybe we read it backwards in a sense. We start to get closer to the true meaning. Maybe we need to understand it like this. Christ strengthens me. Therefore, as I am in Him, I can do whatever He wants me to do. Christ strengthens me. So if I am in Him, I can do whatever He wants me to do. No matter if I have plenty, no matter if I am in need, no matter if I have chains, no matter if I'm free, if I live or if I die, He gives me the strength that I need always. And that, my friends, is the secret, the great lesson of lockdown. I'm concerned for so many believers who still are stuck in a childish faith that puts them in the center and Jesus as their servant to help them to get all the things that they want in life. Folks, maybe you need to stop and consider the things that you are naming and claiming. Have you ever for a second stepped back and said, Lord, is this what You want for my life? Or is this what I want for my life and I'm trying to get You to fit into my plans and purposes? True contentment comes when I put all of that to death, where I come and I lay myself before God and I say, what is it that You want me to do? I will serve Your purposes. And as I do that, I know that You will empower me and give me the strength to survive, to thrive, to do everything in obedience to what You've called me to do. Perhaps, church, as you hear this, perhaps some of you need to recalibrate your life and you realize this as the Holy Spirit convicts you. Perhaps you've also had a self-centered approach to your walk with Jesus, believing that He ought to give you the things you want and make you content in that way. Are you hoping that by sheer willpower and belief you can twist God's arm into giving you what you want? You will never find contentment that way. The secret is to lay down your life, your desires, your hopes, your ambitions. Become a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. Embrace His calling on your life and live in obedience to Him. Then you can walk with confidence, not a confidence in the flesh, not a confidence in some mantra that you've adopted for your life, but a confidence in the goodness of God, knowing without doubt that you are in Christ and that because of that, you can do all the things He asks of you because He gives you the strength to do it. You can understand His word. You can repent of your sins. You can grow in holiness. You can turn away from your idolatry and your addictions. You can forgive those who've hurt you. You can be a better husband or father or brother or friend. You can advance the gospel. You can be generous. You can know Jesus more intimately. And you can become more like Him as He strengthens you. Let's pray together. Lord, Thank you for your word. And I really pray again by your Holy Spirit that you would give us deeper understanding into this verse. Show us the selfishness of our ways where we have tried to squeeze you into our plans and ambitions and hopes. And then give us the courage, Lord, to surrender instead to you and to live our lives in obedience with you. Lord, I thank you that you would never call us to anything, to any kind of a mission or hardship without also strengthening us to endure, without teaching us and making us more like you in the process. God, with the hardship that we face in our country and in our world at the moment, I thank you that your promise reigns true. For those who are in Christ, you will give us the strength that we need. You will provide for us so that we can be your people and follow through with your mission without wavering or faltering or losing ground. And we are confident in your partnership. In Jesus' name, amen.